Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. Father, we are gathered here by the power, because of the power of the blood of Jesus. This morning, Father, we give you all the glory and the honor. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. Lord Jesus, we worship you, we adore you, and this morning we lay our hearts before you. Father, I pray that the seed that goes out here this morning will fall on good ground, and that, Father, it will bring forth much fruit. We give you all the praise and glory. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You know, I'm always picking on Johnny. How many Johnnies do we have here this morning? Because he obviously wasn't here that morning that this happened. An old lady, I stole this morning from someone, an old lady walked in the back of the church and she said to the usher called Johnny, I want to sit in the front this morning. Please, would you take me to the front? And Johnny said, you don't understand, ma'am. Our pastor is very boring and many people fall asleep when you put them in the front. She said, really, young man, do you know who I am? He said, no, ma'am. She said, I am the pastor's mother. And the young man said, oh, ma'am, do you know who I am? She said, no. He said, praise the Lord. So this morning, there's no Johnnies, and my mom is not in the front. She's sitting in heaven. And very quickly, Harold asked me to do the message this morning, and I'm excited about it because, as many of you know, I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament. Don't ever get me wrong, but I always say the old is the sword, the new is the dagger. You need both because God's word is a two-edged sword. And Nehemiah, and I need to maybe share this. You see, Harold's vision reinforced the plight of not only building, but rebuilding the church of God. We're in the building, rebuilding business. And what happened was, he was praying and we're really going through, as the church of God, a very challenging time right now in many dimensions and all dimensions, in fact. And what he saw, he was standing in front of the church, but he was actually kneeling and all the people were kneeling, praying, worshiping God. And the next moment a man appeared and he said, and they will listen to you and they will do what you say. And we are behind you. We are fighting with you. And he realized that these were the angels that had accompanied him and them. And this was the angels that was also going, these were the angels that were also going to be with the people. So folk, you can't see it now, but if God had to open the windows of heaven or just open our spiritual eyes, we would see the angels present with us this morning. Isn't that exciting? Give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. This is a very timely message for us individually, for us as a congregation, but also for us as a nation. This clear mandate from the Lord has been very encouraging. The vision of the angels has been very encouraging, helping, fighting, and building and rebuilding for us this morning. COVID dealt the Church of God worldwide a serious blow, but what Satan meant for evil, God is about to turn around, is doing so to create something greater and more vibrant in his church on this earth. And Moses foresaw this. And he said in Numbers chapter 14, 21, but as surely as I live and as surely as the earth, it will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Isn't that an encouraging word? You see, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So when you see all the evil that's going on, know one thing, there is more grace, and grace is multiplying, and it's multiplying where? To you, to us. And I think, you know, I just get so encouraged with the Word of God. You see, we were in Australia many years ago, and I'll never forget, we were so surprised at the lack of interest in God and His Word. And we were at a place called Cairns, and they have a church there called Cairns Revivals Church. And we phoned up, and we were with Yanni and Naomi. They'd taken us there. And I phoned and I said, I want to know what time your service is. We wanted to go to church. And it was a Saturday evening early. And the pastor's wife said, we don't have church in the evenings. And her attitude was, don't phone me now. And I thought, well, that's revival in Australia. I need to say there are churches that are serving God. There is light going forth in Australia because God promised His Word that His glory will flow all the earth. And it was just a surprise for us to experience that. But when things go well, people don't need God. They get up to other things. They don't need God. It takes an experience or a bad experience or a bad situation or heavy situations to bring people back to God. Well, that's exactly what is happening today. And there was a wonderful king called King Asa, and he brought a revelation to Israel, namely building to prosper. And we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2, that he did what was good in the eyes of the Lord, and he removed, first key, the foreign gods, the high places. He broke the sacred pillars, and he cut down the images. Now, these are strong words, but in our lives and the lives of every Christian, there comes a time of removing the hindrances, the bondages, cutting down the wrong things in our lives that keep us or withhold us from the relationship we should have with the Lord. And it goes on and it says, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, to observe, to seek, to observe. And he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. You want peace? That's what you need to do. Every one of us. And he built fortified cities of Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those days. And then it goes on and it says, and the Lord gave him and gave them rest. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build cities. Yeah, we start the building process. We make walls around us, towers, gates, bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord, our God. We have sought him, and he gave us rest on every side. And here's the powerful thing. So they built and they prospered. You see, folk, when we build according to God's kingdom, many build, but they don't prosper. And they can't figure out why. You see, you want to build and it's just not working for me. Why? Because the keys are found here. All lasting success is contained in God's principles, in God's laws, and in His promises. If we don't incorporate that in the building blocks of our lives, we cannot have success. We will not experience any lasting success. I love what Hebrews, I'll get to Hebrews now. You see, God's principles and His laws uphold the universe. Now, this is powerful. You think, okay, well, it's out there. No, those very principles also uphold us. And in Hebrews, we get a revelation of the greatness of God. It says the sun is the radiance. This is Jesus. He is the only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being the brilliant light of the divine. He is the exact representation, the perfect imprint, wow, of his Father's essence. And this is what he does, upholding, maintaining, propelling all things, the entire physical and the spiritual universe by his power, his word, powerful word, carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal. And we are in that very goal of God bringing this whole world to a place to be with him forever and ever and ever. You see, when godly people build on a godly foundation, they prosper. How and why? Because God gives them creative power to succeed. You see, in Romans chapter 8, 13, and I'm just reading out of my Bible here, it says, for the spirit of life, because of righteousness, verse 11, it says, but if the spirit, the same spirit, the same Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? Where does the Spirit of God dwell? In the earth, but also in each one of us. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to what? To our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's every one of us. That's the creative power of God inside of us. Now, Nehemiah, he was not just building. He was going to rebuild. And we get to the subject this morning is building the broken walls. And folk, every one of us, before we came into God's kingdom, we had broken walls. Nobody here can say, I was whole, I am healed. No, we are still in a process of restoring those broken walls, because you see, the world, that's where sin dwells. That is the place that we lived in before we were translated out of this world through the power of God, the Holy Spirit coming to live in us. Now we have the power that enables us to build a solid concrete foundation. I said, Nehemiah was not building, but rebuilding. Israel had drifted far from the Lord. For 70 years, they were in Babylon. They had been in bondage. They had been a land that was holding them captive. Although it was great in Babylon, you have that song by the rivers of Babylon. It was great. In fact, the young people that had not known Israel didn't even want to come home. Only 50,000 returned home. Only 50, the old people, returned home because they had visions of the homeland. But I want to tell you, it was a time where God was going to restore, and he's busy restoring Israel right now. Can I hear an amen? Praise God. We stand. We are aware of everything that's going on in this world. But I know this, Israel is God's land and belongs to God's people. And God will give grace to all the people there, whether it be on the Palestinian side or Israel. But God is taking back his land to give to his people. Amen. Yeah, I just need to say something here. I sat with two people the other night, and they said, yeah, but you know, the Jews are chasing out the Arabs. No. What people don't know is that the whole of Israel, there are Arabs and Jews all living together. They didn't know that. Many of the places, Nazareth belongs to the Arabs. You go through there, it's all Arab buildings, Arab people. Sections of in Jerusalem, the Arab people are living there. They go and worship at the mosque there. It belongs to the Arabs as well. There are Arabs in the army of Israel. People think that there's no Arabs. There are. So they're not against the Palestinians. We're not against the Palestinians. We are standing with everybody that stands for Israel and stands for God. Can I get an amen? We need that revelation, including all. And I need to say, we were connected to Arab Jews, Arab Christians in Israel. Our friends are there in Israel. And we see their pain because their families are suffering. But we have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem so that we may be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. So now we look at Nehemiah building. What was the purpose? They had to restore the walls for protection. They had to return, rebuild, restore. There's always hope for a backslider who returns. There are people out there that may be listening in. And I need to say this too. Even in the life of a Christian, there comes a time when you experience a time of backsliding. When you just get lukewarm in the things of God. But you know what? It's time to come back. It's time to restore. It's time to rebuild because there is hope. The Father restores and rebuilds His broken and hurting children. There are men and women here. You've lost your spouse, your spouses. You've lost your children. You know what? God wants to comfort you. That's why He's given us the Comforter. Nehemiah's name was Comfort. He was sent to bring comfort to Israel, to help them rebuild their broken, hurting lives. The Father wipes out our past. Folk, we need this revelation. You see, at rebirth, He started the building process within us. How did He build and how did He expect us now to build? With kingdom stones. We build our spiritual man. How? Through knowledge of the Word. We strengthen our souls. It's our mind. Our mind, which is the battleground. Our mind is our enemy. And if we don't take control of our minds through the Spirit and the power of God within, we will not succeed. God wants to restore. He wants to heal our broken bodies, our broken minds, our broken souls by applying God's Word and obeying them. We can't just apply it. We have got to obey the Word of God. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It's such a powerful scripture. Some of them I read out of the Amplified. If you hear a little bit more than you have in your New King James or New Living Translation. But it says this. But all things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. God restored us, making us acceptable to Him. He gave us, we all have, the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to Him. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to Himself, not counting our sins against them. In other words, God's not counting our sin against us, but He's canceling them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is restoration back into God's favor. Where do we start, church? And this is where our challenge as a church came in. I almost want to say 12 days ago. Because it took 52 days to build the walls of Israel. We started 12 days ago. We've got 40 days to the election. And that revelation God gave us this past week, we are rebuilding the church in 52 days. Harold, as the lead pastor, received, the lead shepherd received the instruction to measure the pastoral system. And this is very important. You can never have any kind of progress if you don't measure it. And he just wanted to know, who are the people, the precious sheep in this flock that he has to oversee? And why have we not seen the growth that we should see? Why is it like our people come in the front door and some of them we lose out the back door? And God gave Harold very clear instruction. And together with a powerful team, we were able to come together. And wow, we've been working this week. You know, they had the team in the side hall. Over 11,000 calls were made. Many of them are coming back from many, many years. People have gone, people aren't there. People aren't in the, maybe in the, they aren't in the church anymore. And they were able to cut down and see who we've got so that we know who we look after. And now we got to go after the lost sheep as well. After those that maybe aren't coming back because of offense. And I want to tell you something about offense. We need to be careful of that. Sometimes the children get out of hand. And the usher will go and say, Mom, Dad, there's a place there for them. Won't you just, you know, go there? And because it's a distraction, we've got video going out. People grab the children, walk out the church, and now they're offended. That's not a reason for offense. Maybe you don't like the pastor's face, or maybe his hair's not looking good today. And, oh, I'm not going back. No, we don't get offended. We need to mature in Christ. And fight through. Give the Lord a praise offering. And in the process of the pastoral system, Harold wanted to ascertain the strengths and weaknesses of this church. He wanted to implement a strategy that would make the system more effective so that we could feed and tend the flock that the Lord has added. And I've always got the picture, and I've mentioned it before, in Israel. I have seen this now on several occasions. They would have a flock of sheep and goats. They would be together. But whenever they would go walking, the shepherd never walked behind. We have the shepherds walking behind, getting them in line. Why do the sheep and the goats follow the shepherd in Israel? Because there's not much water. And they know if they follow that man, he's going to take them to the waters and he's going to take them to the pastures. And that's what a shepherd does. And what happens is, and I've seen this and I've laughed because it's so funny. All the sheep walk on one side and all the goats walk on the other side. But you know what? Both are valuable. You milk the goats and you fleece the sheep and they both add value to the church. So, are you a sheep or are you a goat? I trust you are all sheep here this morning. Can I get an amen? We laugh. We have to have a joke from time to time. You see, Larry Lee said something very powerful a couple of years ago. He says, we cannot hold on to what God hasn't given us, but we cannot lose what the Lord has added. That means if we've lost any sheep, go out and find them. If you know any sheep that have gone and are astray, bring them back. That's the job that God has given us. We've got to do that. This sounds great, but we were aware that there were many hidden pitfalls, and we just said, God, help us. Now Nehemiah goes out, and in Nehemiah 2:11, he goes to inspect the walls. He says, I arrived in Jerusalem. 3 days later, he'd got permission from the king. I slipped out, and during the night, taking only a few men with me, I had not told about the plans that God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us except the donkeys that I was riding. And after dark, I went through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, over the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and the broken and the burnt gates. And then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. But my donkey couldn't get through because of the rubble. So though it was dark, I went up the Kidron Valley. And instead of inspecting the wall before I turned back, I entered again at the valley gate. The city's officials did not know that I had been out there and what I was doing, for I had not said anything to anyone about my plans. Nehemiah 2:17 carries on, New Living Translation. But now I said to them, excuse me, I always said rooibos is for sick people. So if I feel something in my throat, I take rooibos. What makes you think I don't like rooibos? Okay. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. This disgrace spoke of shame. It spoke of dishonor. It spoke of humiliation. And many people feel that. Sitting here this morning, looking online. Our immediate focus, a renewed pastoral care system. We need your cooperation. Bear with us. If they bug you on the phone, praise God. You bug them back. Can I get an amen? We need to know who our flock are and what we can do for you. Many Christians' lives resemble the broken walls of Jerusalem. What are our individual roles? For many, it's a journey of discovery. Discovering who we are in Christ, discovering how we can mend these broken walls. But King Asa gave us very clear direction. He said, remove the idols. Oh, but I don't have idols. No, you might not have little wooden images and all kinds of things. And I'll never forget a missionary confronted one of the religions. They had had a flood, and Yeri was grabbing his idols who were very important to them and putting them in his backpack. And he said, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm putting my gods in my bag. He said, my God takes us through the storm. You've got to save your God. You better change your faith. And so I just said, yeah, we rely, removing the idols. Before we can build strong walls, we have to remove the idols. Walls provide protection. Many of us, not everyone, live in walled homes, complexes, estates. We rely on these walls to give us peace and security. But broken down walls give entrance to the enemy. People, bad people, desperate people come in. Steal, rob, murder. We have a lot of threatening situations when walls are down individually as well. The first thing the enemy of our soul does, is to tear down the walls that and render us weak and ineffective. I told you about the mind. Our peace gets stolen. Our joy gets stolen. Our prosperity gets stolen. Therefore, how much more should we build spiritual walls of protection around our hearts and around our families and around our nation, especially in the next 40 days? We owe it to our children and our nation to stand in the gap for the next 40 days. Can I get an agreement in this church? We need to stand together. Life is hard. The world out there does everything in its power to draw us away from what is good, vital, and successful to a life in the Spirit. If we do not understand or grasp what life in the Spirit means, we will never have victory and success. We are so caught up in the natural things of life that we don't understand everything starts in the Spirit. If we are attuned in the Spirit, we will be ready to face whatever happens to us in the natural environment. But we're so caught up down here that we're not hearing the voice of God. I don't need a word out there. I have this word. And God has never, never failed me. God has never failed Harold. When we're down, we run to this word. When we're down, we run to the room for prayer. When I can't go to sleep at night, I get up and I walk around, go and pray, read the word, and God helps me to sleep, a sleep of peace. Folk, life in the Spirit. And I said, yeah, you may say, I have no idols in my life. Satan's been around for 6,000 years. We need this revelation. He is very powerful. Don't underestimate him. He has been very successful in the world that we're living in right now, especially. He knows how to distract us. He's got many ways of distraction. I want to say something. You may say, but what is an idol? How does it affect me? Anything that draws your time and your attention away from being with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, reading His Word, praying. Anything that draws you away is an idol. Don't say you don't have an idol. We've all got idols. And we've got to break down those idols and rebuild the walls of our spirit. Social media has become the biggest enemy of our time. I've got beautiful grandchildren. They sit here in the back sometimes. All four of them one day were sitting. All of them sitting around the table communicating with each other on the cell phone. Communication is being broken down. Relationships are being broken down. Sports, especially on a Sunday, when we should be in the house of God, because God says that the Sabbath day is His day. He will cause us to ride on the mountains. He will cause us to have success. When we set aside that day for Him, to think of Him, to worship Him, to be with Him, to be in the fellowship. But no, which rugby player is playing now? I believe the Sharks had a very bad day yesterday. Hallelujah. I'm no, sorry, I shouldn't play that. I'm joking. I'm not a rugby fan. I just bug the pastors from time to time. You see, children can be an idol. How can my child be an idol? Yes, they can. Some parents don't know when to let go. Some parents hold on to those children, even destroy some marriages. Some parents use children as an excuse not to go to church. There was an old pastor, Furchel, and this husband and wife came, and she couldn't fall pregnant, and he prayed for them. They ended up with four children. And he said to them, where are you? Why aren't you in the house of the Lord? Oh, no, you know the children. He said, can I pray for you? They said, oh, yes, please. He says, Lord, please remove those four children. Take them to heaven because they are stopping them from coming to church. Don't use children as an excuse. Bring them with to the house of God. That's where they learn the values and the principles that establish them in this home, in this life, and in this nation. The Lord wants to prosper us. He wants to give us peace. He wants us to be happy and successful above all. He wants us to set aside time to be with Him. You see, Israel's walls had no defense. They were broken. In Nehemiah 4:1, and it happened that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the walls, he was so furious and indignant, he mocked the Jews. You see, Satan will always mock us. And he spoke against the brethren of Samaria. And he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in the day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? And Nehemiah 4:3, and Tobias the Ammonite was beside him, and they said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes on it, it will break their walls down. You see, many, many lives resemble the walls of Israel, but I got news for you. God has built every one of us with burnt stones. When Nehemiah looked around, he saw the trash. He saw all the rubbish. But he saw the burnt stones as something valuable. And they built with those burnt stones. And it says the walls were stronger than ever. We saw those 2,400 years plus stones that we saw the wall. It's still standing today. Folk, God uses us. He uses the burnt stones. You know, many people will say, you don't understand my life. You don't understand where I'm coming from. I've been an alcoholic. Mom and Dad may have been an alcoholic. God wants to restore you. There may be prostitutes. I'll never forget one night. Harold was ministering in the Cape, and he was. It was in a strange area. I won't go say what area it was in. And at 8 o'clock, he just saw some ladies getting up and leaving the service. And he thought, is my preaching so bad? And afterwards, he asked the pastor. The pastor said, oh no, that's the prostitutes. They're going back to work. I said, Lord, help that man to see further. The broken stones, the burnt stones may be the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the porn addicts, the immoral person, the disgraced person. God is building his kingdom with the burned and the broken stones. You see, Jesus came to heal, to restore every broken man and woman. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and the afflicted. He has sent me to build up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to bind up, to proclaim, to release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and the spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance and retribution to our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion the following, to give them a turban instead of dust, on their heads a sign of mourning, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment, the expression of praise, instead of disheartened spirits, so they will be called, and here we are sitting, all of us, trees of righteousness, strong and magnificent and distinguished. Isn't that beautiful? For integrity, justice, right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God does not hold or remind us of our past. And many times, especially husbands and wives, you can really go for the past, especially when you're mad with your partner. But God doesn't remember the past. He's thrown that in the sea of forgetfulness. He has separated it as far as the east is, north is from the south. God doesn't hold our past against us. He gives us a hope, a future filled with visions of joy, success, and prosperity. He gives us a picture of our eternal future. I love this. I have just said, Lord, whatever you do, please put me in charge of the flower gardens in heaven. I can't wait to see what they're going to look like. building strong families and community. Man, this is powerful. You see, I want you just to listen to this one, and I don't want to go over my time. You see, Nehemiah in chapter 4, verse 13, "Therefore I petitioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the opening. I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked at those, and I rose to the nobles and the leaders, to the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, the great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, fight for your houses." What a promise! And then he goes in verse 17, "Those who built on the walls and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with the one hand, for the next 40 days, with the one hand they worked at construction, with the other hand they held the weapon." Folks, we are spiritually armed for battle, fighting for our families. God does not hold or remind us of our past. He gives us the hope. And this is what chapter 3 is all about. You see, what they did was so clever, because the very areas where the walls were broken, that is where the families, the communities, the home cells, did you hear what I said? Everybody staying, if this is your area, your community, your estate, that area of your estate that's broken down, that's where you focus. And that is how they built, because they wanted that area restored. And everybody had a responsibility. That is how we can associate and build our church, understanding that each community, each little cell is adding to the kingdom of God and building and constructing. Home cells are small communities that group together. They protect one another. They evangelize. They socialize. They do spiritual warfare. They impart the word of life in the spirit. Get connected, folk. Get connected. If you can't, and you really can't, don't feel guilty. But if you can, don't use excuses anymore. Don't let those idols hold you back from connecting with God's people. Strong families build strong nations. We need to build up our families again. I said something, you know, Harold and I this year will be 53 years married. Oh, that's wonderful. No, it shouldn't be wonderful. It's what God wanted in the first place. Can I get an amen? And if you feel, well, I didn't succeed, start succeeding now. Amen. You can give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Why do marriages break down? Because of hardness of heart and unforgiveness. There's the key. Start the process of restoration. Fathers, gather your families together. Restore the broken altars. Represent the Father in the home. The Heavenly Father in the home. That's what dads are meant to do. Moms, you're sitting here. You're an only breadwinner in your home, and you are maybe divorced, or you don't have a husband anymore. Men, establish strong boys. Build into them strong foundations, life, strength. Speak life, speak strength into your sons so that they can lead their families one day. Your daughters, you are an example to your daughters. Teach them to be pillars of strength and encouragement to their husbands. Why? So that the husbands, and as a family unit, they can build together and progress. Marriages. And here we come to sowing and reaping. You see, when you sow as a wife into your husband, you build walls of strength. You build walls of endurance. You bring build walls of encouragement. If your husband stands alone, no matter where he is, he's only half a person, because God made you one. But when you come in behind him, encourage him, strengthen him. You strengthen him as a man, and you strengthen him, because together God gives you and imparts to both of you what you need to do. It is such a powerful scenario. God made the two to be one. When a husband operates alone, he can never be as strong as he would be with his helpmeet. Build together in unity. restore, take back what the devil has stolen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Harold? And now I'm calling my husband to come and take over. Isn't it nice? Ladies, it's so nice to depend on them. I just love it. When I can't do something, Harold! Hallelujah.
Something wrong here. No, it's here. Good morning, everybody. Give the Lord a praise offering for that. Amen. Just wonderful. She doesn't know this, but in my research in the Hebrew this week, I was all involved with these words, particularly from the Bible codes. The people of the last days shall be led astray because of the idols that are in their lives. As a man picks up a snake by the tail and the snake bites him in the hand, so shall those idols in these days bite the people and pierce them with many sorrows. This, after the week of research in the Hebrew, I realize that people have got these things that they've set up, the modern day idols. Think about it. Think about it. Turn around and bite them in the face, in their hands, and devour them and cause them to fall back and fall right out. They shall be pierced through with many sorrows and stumble and fall. And in that hour there shall be no help, because it is the last hour, because the coming of the Lord is at hand, because there's no more time to play games. It is the time to serve the Lord with all your heart. Would you stand up, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody? Amen. Let's build up. Let's build up everything that's broken down. Build up.
Can I just speak? I just feel there's a lot of burnt stones here this morning that's needing encouragement, prayer, upliftment. Our pastors will be here after the service. Please come forward. Let them pray with you, stand with you, agree with you. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you always and forevermore. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.